Hi, my name is Gavin Markram, and this is my grandmother.
Hi, I am Gina Tyler, Gavin's grandmother.
And today is February 12th, 2019, and we are in my father's dining room. We're going to be speaking a little bit about our childhood. I think we've had some similar experiences, something that we can talk about and maybe learn a little bit from each other. My first question is, how can you best describe your childhood?
It was a happy childhood up until the age of 9.
Okay.
And because of doctor's misdiagnosis of my health, and it was told to my parents that I had mental disorder instead of a physical disorder.
Right.
I was placed into foster homes.
Mm-hmm.
And then my whole world changed.
Right.
And it was not for the better. And
We've had some similar things. I've had some things that, like, all those mental issues going on. You didn't say it just then, but your mom had schizophrenia, and you tried to take care of her a lot. My grandma was the same. My other grandma, same way. She had schizophrenia, but not nearly to the extent yours did.
Mine was bipolar also.
Oh, so bipolar also. I'm sure that's hard for a child to see her parent flip from one to another.
Yes, and my father, at the age of 9, he was told that I had mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole outlook or his whole way of treating me changed.
Right.
I went from being his pride and joy to I'm just like my mother and I had mental issues, and that was why I couldn't keep my food down. I became anorexic looking. And
he didn't want to deal with that same pain that he felt with her.
I guess. I'm not sure why maybe he felt like it somehow held him back in life because if he had to take care of my mother.
Right.
And he just didn't want the burden of another person, because he knew my brother had mental issues. The one closest to me, not my oldest brother, but my
Chris.
Chris, yeah. Right. He had mental issues. He was born like at 6 months, and back then in the 50s, when he was born at 6 months, and he lost a lot of oxygen to his brain, and he was paranoid. I would say he had paranoid schizophrenia, even though he wasn't diagnosed with it. I'm sure he was.
Just like his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did he love your mom, your dad?
Yes, he did. He loved her, and he took good care of her. But, you know, they didn't divorce back in those days.
Right.
But I was misdiagnosed until I was 27 years old. They finally found out what was wrong with me. I have gastroparesis, which is digestive organs don't work. They don't move.
Oh, and that's where that anorexic problem came from.
Right. And so I threw up everything I ate, you know. So they misdiagnosed me. Because of my misdiagnosis, I had to be taken. They said my home life was affecting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that was why I was put into a foster home.
They took you away from your parents?
No, my parents went and signed me over because...
Your dad did?
Both my parents signed me over because the mental health... I think it was called the Mental Health Center here in Memphis. Told mm-hmm. them that it was best for me to go and live in a different environment mm-hmm. so that I could keep my food down and gain weight.
But your parents thought it was best for you, though.
They tried to do what was best.
Yeah, it wasn't just like a ship you away kind of
deal. Oh, no. Right. No. And I had a very happy childhood up until that point.
Right.
And, but after I got to foster home, it was like
work all day.
It was slavery. It was slavery and mental abuse and beyond.
Right.
And it stifled me so bad.
Well, in the foster homes, in Memphis especially, like in Tennessee, they're awful. That's why we have that TBCH that I went to. But, no, I know it's such a painful thing. And then, because kids go missing all the time, right? Is that nothing you
face? They just don't check up on children. If they would have actually had a one-on-one conversation with me my caseworker, she would have known everything that was happening to me. I would have told her. But at that home, when she would come by, they would sit there and smile and talk and never ask me a question. Yeah, because they want
to be perfect when, you know, it's legally, like when they feel they have to, their lives
are... Oh, yeah, they were just so nice.
Yeah, I hate it. I know that.
But she never even spoke to me, ever.
Because their job doesn't require them to. Right. It just requires them checking the house.
Right.
They don't think about the kids. And so that affects... You'd imagine how many other kids it affected.
It did. This one girl that lived at the home with me. Mm-hmm. She was a year younger than me. She told what was happening to her. I don't know how she got to tell. I don't know how she got a long time with a caseworker. But it wasn't happening to me. And the only kind person in the house to me was my foster father. He was mm-hmm. the only kind person to me. And I couldn't believe it, but after she left, it started on me.
So, was she older than you?
No, she was a year younger than me, and that's why she was easier prey.
Oh, so now they just moved on to their next
target. Moved on to me. He got away with it with her, so why couldn't he get away with it with me?
Yeah.
And so, when it came, I had no one to tell but my mother. Mm-hmm. And bless her heart. She couldn't do anything. So this went on for a couple of years, and that was when I told the next door neighbor, I ran to the next door neighbor when my foster mother left, which she rarely left the house. Mm-hmm. I told the next door neighbor, she threw me out of the house. And so the next visit home, I went home and I took a bunch of pills.
Yeah. And we talked about that, and it was just luck that nothing happened.
No, I took them before I had to go back to my foster parent from the weekend, and they didn't even call.
They didn't call your house?
They didn't, the foster parent, by the time I got to my foster parents and I went into the home, I guess like an hour, or 30 minutes later, an hour later, I passed out. Mm-hmm. I didn't wake up for 3 days, but no, they didn't call the hospital.
Because that would have just been more problems for them.
Right, they didn't call the hospital. I heard that they set me up and poured hot coffee down me for 3 days, but I don't remember it. Yeah, I could have died, but
yeah.
No.
They didn't care.
They were protecting
foster
him.
Homes are so sick.
They knew. Yeah. They knew.
They just didn't want to look bad or have any legal things to worry about.
Well, they knew what it was from was because he was... My foster father was molesting me now, and they were trying to cover it up.
Right.
And they didn't want to come out, even though they'd already been, he'd been accused by one person.
And then the laws that they, I looked at some of the laws that they have on how you're supposed to treat your children. And, you know, most parents just think they just take care of their kids, right? And so when you put laws on how to take care of your kids, everyone throws a fit. What they don't realize is all these laws that they have on how you're supposed to treat your kids, when it comes to being a guardian and you're just a foster parent, they can raise you like slavery. It's an indentured servitude. There's no difference in how a parent can treat you to how African Americans were treated in 1700s. They can do whatever they want.
It's exactly like that. I went to bed at 10:30 and had to be up at 4:30.
Yeah, you work the entire time.
Every time. 4.5 years of that because I had to take care of my foster sister who was retarded. She was retarded. Mm-hmm. They'd had her since she was 2 weeks old or 6 weeks old or something like that. And I took care of her at 4:30 in the morning. She'd be on the bus by 6, I think. But
It's not easy taking care of somebody with disabilities, let alone mental disorders.
And the whole house, all the housework, and I never got to sit down.
And you never got time for school either.
And I didn't get to do my homework. Never got to sit down and do homework, and I'd be in trouble every day for not doing my homework, so I'd have to do it in homeroom.
Right. But luckily, you were so bright that when you were in those classes, you could take care of it.
Yeah, I was still in the optional program. I got stuck to stay in the honors classes. But it was hard. It wasn't what I wanted.
Right. And you always had to live in the here and now, taking care of what's right in front of you.
Right in front of me. And being in trouble for not doing my homework was terrible because I, you know, I really right. wanted to do it.
And a lot of teachers don't understand that when you're in those kind of situations that you can't focus on school because, you know, like, if you're a teacher, most likely you grew up in a good household. You don't go through that many years of college with not having a good opportunity, right? Because you're following your passion. If you teach, it's not because you want money. And so those teachers didn't realize, like, and even if they did, most of them don't care.
They didn't even know I was in a foster home.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
They were probably never even told.
And you don't want to talk about it. You're a kid. You want to stay as far away from that as possible.
You didn't want people knowing that you were different when you were a kid.
Not even that. You want to be normal so bad. You might even, like, I spent a long time lying to myself, you know? Like, it was hard because they shaved our heads, you know? The boys' ranch when you're at Millington was like a gang, you know? Like, someone says something to a boys' ranch kid, you're getting punched by a gang, you know? And then we walk around branded because our heads are shaved.
Right.
Everyone knows who you are, where you're from.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's the same way with, like, when you live at St. Peter's. Because after I finally did get home, I had so much resentment towards my father because my father was normal mentally normal. And I asked to go back into the system. Mm-hmm. And so they sent me to St. Peter's, which was a group home. And so I went to Memphis Catholic automatically. But Memphis Catholic thought we were all, they treated us like dirt.
Yeah.
Because we were from St. Peter's Children's Home.
Right.
So there had to be something wrong with us for us to be there.
Yeah, because it's not your parenting's fault. It's your fault for being the way you are, not the parenting that raised you.
Right, but we didn't do anything wrong.
Right, but that's what they think.
In their mind, that we must have done something wrong to get sent there, not because our parents were, we came from broken homes or we came from, you know, sick homes. Our parents were sick. And so, yeah, we were treated unfairly, unfairly.
And it's sick, because most people, that's, you know, when you come from a bad household, you're not in the average. Most people don't go through that. And so they go through their whole lives. When we talk to somebody, we wonder, what is that person going through today? What do they go through in life to make them this way?
Right.
We've had our bad experiences. They probably have too. Or even if it's a person that didn't have the same childhood we had, they were probably spoiled. They can't help being spoiled.
That's true.
And those people have their own problems.
Right.
They might even be worse off than we are just because they'll never reach happiness. We at some capacity will. But those people that are longing because they've had everything in life, longing for something else, they don't know what it is. But other people, not everybody, of course, but, you know, a lot, they just see who you are now. They never understand what you went through, what caused you to be that way, or even what you're going on daily.
Even my children don't know what I went through.
Yeah. Like, my dad, he doesn't understand.
Or my brothers and sisters that were much older than me, because my brother's 12 years older than me, my sister's 14 years older than me. They have no idea until, you know, my brother didn't know till like 6 months ago what I went through.
Chris or Mark?
Mark.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, they didn't go through it, right? They never went to a foster home.
Mark went to Tall Trees. My sister went to Newville Heights, which is an all-Catholics. She was sent to, sent away. But Mark was his own daring. And then Chris went to Bolivar and then to a group home in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris, he did that to himself. You know, he had a mental breakdown. He decided he wasn't coming out of his room for almost 3 years. And
wow.
Yeah, but Chris was never quite there because of the way he was born early. And
yeah,
he just had mental problems.
But you said Chris is a genius, though.
Chris is a genius, 182 IQ.
Right, that's... I mean, most people, it's rare to get above 120.
He's 182.
Most presidents are around, like, 160.
He was tested at Rhodes College when he was, like, 15.
Gosh.
So.
Imagine the things he could have had he had a better childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably could have still done something for himself.
It wasn't the fact that he didn't have a better childhood. His childhood was okay. He closed himself off from my father because...
That mental problem, which is like his mother,
right?
Yeah,
his mental problems. He withdrew.
I think maybe he's got some deeper things that he thought to himself about that. Because, like, if you don't know my story with David and them, right? Most people don't know David, you know? They don't understand all that. they don't understand those first 12 years. And so, like, you would never know if you never met David or Carl or Mary. You would never know. And so when I look at somebody like, let's say Chris, maybe Chris's dad wasn't awful, you know. Maybe he did care about him. But what does Chris have going on in his mind? Because, like, me, I hid it. I smiled everywhere I went. Wanted to kill myself, but I pulled through. I smiled. But you would never know. And so maybe, like, if Chris went to something like that and had a breakdown, there has to be something.
Now, his mind never worked like normal people's minds work. Right. You know, he could read any book there was, and his and he could figure out problems, or I mean, he had no common sense though.
Right. Right.
Basic common sense and be able to hold a conversation with a person.
Mm-hmm.
Could not do it. He was so far above everybody mentally. When he talked, he would expect other people to comprehend what right. he was saying, and like, why can't you figure out what I'm saying, you know?
Right.
You know, and lose patience. And he was 6 years older than me, so I mean, he helped me though a lot, because when we were younger, even though he was very jealous of me because I was the apple of my dad's eye, right. you know, he helped me a lot because he taught me how to play chess when I was 5 years old.
Cheated a lot, right?
Right? He did, but he cheated a lot in Monopoly, but he did teach me how to play chess, right?
Right.
I mean, he taught me things that I probably wouldn't have learned if it wasn't for him being my brother, you know, mm-hmm. and being as smart as he was.
Well, how do you think all that shaped how you see the world?
Well, as far as I was a free spirit.
Right.
And got to do anything I wanted to do before I went. And so I had this...
You've always liked standing up for yourself.
I did stand up for myself very much so when I was, like, up until the age of 9.
Right.
But when I went to a foster home, they put a lid on that really fast.
Yeah.
And they stifled it. And I got... I know, it was so hard to... I knew how to act. It was like... It's like, you know, how your parents take you to church and you have to be real quiet and you had to, you know, mm-hmm. and
it's a slave
and
mindset.
Your table manners are perfect and you mm-hmm. know how to behave in public.
Yeah.
But at home, you're different, you're free and you're a great kid.
Well, but
and you get, but you have this freedom to be yourself, and then when you go out in public, you're on your best behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you go to a foster home.
It's exact opposite.
You're on your best behavior 24/7. You can't make a mistake. And even your best is not good enough. The horrible things they say to you, they mentally...
Yeah, the smallest mistake.
Oh, yeah. It was just... Even when you're doing the best you can do...
Nothing they would be able to do.
Right.
Like, you're inhuman how well you're acting.
Right.
Right. It's that slave mindset, you know? It's that don't look them in the eye. Never be too good so that they look down on you.
Well,
don't be too, don't get their attention.
I tried to do the best I could. I tried to be really, really good and do it better and thorough and never miss a spot. And you know.
I never wanted to stand out.
I didn't know. I mean, it wasn't that I wanted to stand out. I just wanted to do it to her satisfaction so it would be good enough so she wouldn't get on to me and not find fault in everything I did. But it doesn't matter. I did it. And they still found fault with it.
But you were almost by yourself. There weren't many other kids there.
No, there were the retarded little girl, mm-hmm. and then there was Nancy, who was a year younger than me, and then there was her own daughter, who was 2 years older than me, who had to do nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
She didn't do anything. Oh,
let's not even go into that when we both have our feelings about those.
Yeah. And she wouldn't even speak to me. She was 2 years older than me. Mm-hmm. She would only speak to me to relay a message that her mother said mm-hmm. for me.
She looked down on you.
But I wonder, how could anybody have that much willpower for 4 years not to speak to a person?
Well, it's because people have this mindset when you're a foster kid, people just look down on you. They don't even think you're human.
Oh, but she never treated me like I was human. Even though I tried to be so good to her,
mm-hmm.
I would, like, give her back massages at night, cause we, you know, or whatever to make her like me.
But she would treat you like a dog that you didn't like looking at.
Right.
And
she hated me so much. But she made like the worst grades in school, and I was like, and she could study. She brought books home, and I thought
the hypocrisy that always blows my mind.
You waste so much energy hating me, and you have everything, is what I thought to myself. And you still make bad grades even though you study. And I used to think,
right,
just give me the opportunity that you have,
and you'd go so far.
And I would have, and you know, so I just thought, why waste it? Or you just don't.
You just, yeah. You don't appreciate it the way
she
you do.
She puts more energy into hating me than to her studies.
Right.
Right?
And she's never going to appreciate it as much as you do.
Oh, I know.
If you only had that start.
Right.
Well, do you think you would have been drastically different had you been raised differently?
Yes, I think so. If I could have stayed on the same path with my parents.
Right.
I think it would have been totally different. Because they broke my spirit.
Yeah.
But then when I came out of it, I found my spirit again.
Definitely.
After I came out of it, it was the wrong kind of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It was resentfulness towards my parents. And it was resentfulness.
That shaped who you are permanently.
I was angry.
Right.
The world let
you feel like that. The world left you in that place, and that's...
Yeah, I was angry at the foster parents. And
it was more like the world allowed for this to happen. Not just you, but thousands, millions of kids.
Right. I would say so. But I just felt like I learned bad things and bad mm-hmm. habits from bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents weren't bad people. You know, like that. And bad people exist. But I wasn't around bad people before that.
Right.
You know, I had to go into the system that was supposed to protect me.
And all it did was...
And it let me learn that there were such bad people in this world.
You grew up quickly. You didn't get the chance to be a child.
Oh, I know. I never did get to... I mean, I was a child and a happy child before that. But
But at 9 years old, you became an adult. You faced the world like most people don't until they're 30.
Well, at 9 years old, they put me in the mental institution first.
Oh, and that's...
For 10 months. I was the youngest person there.
They start off telling you, you're just not equal to the rest of us.
I didn't actually go in the foster home until I was 11.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then I came home. And that didn't cure me. You know, supposed to be
a miracle cure, right?
Yeah, for my stomach ailments. And, yeah, that didn't cure me. So that was when they told them to put me in foster home.
I love how... those institutions think they know everything, and when the one thing that they think they've got you boiled down to doesn't work, it's just you're at fault.
You're mentally wrong, so far
out there, we can't understand.
Right, that happened to me.
Yeah.
But that happened to me after I got grown. When doctors can't figure out what's wrong with you, it's got to be in your head.
Right, right.
Right, so...
If science can't explain it, then you're at fault. Yeah. All that, when I was little, all that happened to me, I didn't care because I'd been raised like that, you know, since day one. That's just how it was. But when I see it happen to somebody else, like in the boys' range, the fights I got into, which house parents never figured it out because I was good at hiding it, was always because someone said something about someone I cared about.
Right.
Like, I remember this one freshman came. I was a freshman too, but I had always hung out with the seniors because my house was just full of seniors. Having the life I did, I grew up, and I fit in more with them. But one of these freshmen, and people always forgot I was a freshman, because I always was around the seniors, but one of the freshmen got slapped. And I had felt an anger I had never felt before, and this was at school. Some punk, he had a great life, wore $300 shoes, you know, talking down to this kid. He had a worse life than I did, for sure. And this is that kid I told you about that didn't want to be like his father.
Right.
Didn't want to get fined. He was a big guy. He could have done something. But he was mentally weak. He didn't want to...
Right.
He didn't want to be the man that put him where he is now.
Right.
And I punched that kid so hard. I right in the stomach. I'm not bad enough to, like, get me expelled or to get in trouble because he didn't want to feel like a punk going telling everybody he got punched by some little kid because I was little. And I don't, like... My experience has been, you can do whatever you want to me. I don't really care. my life's my life. I'll move on. I'll deal with it. I'll forget about it eventually. You know, but I will never feel well about myself if you hurt somebody that I think doesn't deserve to be hurt. And in that moment, it's just like, all that anger that I built up was like, don't you dare ever do that to somebody. Do it to me. I'll take it. I mean, somebody else that doesn't have it. But not him. Not him.
Right. You can take it better than you can see somebody else around you being taken that you care about. Yeah, go ahead. That's the way I am too. About, please do it to me because I'm strong and this is what made me strong.
Yeah.
I've taken it before.
I've taken it from every day.
Right.
And we both grew up with everyone telling us we're geniuses, you know? And we've always been like, I can handle whatever you throw my way.
Right.
But if you so much as do it to someone I care about, that I don't think that can handle it, that's on the verge of breaking, we're going to have a problem.
Right.
Well, we went off track a little bit, but it's 25 minutes. I think I'll go ahead and ask this question about this poem that kind of relates back to what we're talking about. It's Freedom by James Barry. And the poem speaks a lot about not letting what has shaped your life from this point on take control of who you will be in the future. And it talks about how you should act to give yourself the freedom that you've been longing for. And there's a quote, it starts at stanza 10, it says, "Freedom is not a becoming the model of destructive echoes or a walking in the hands of ghosts." And this is saying that we shouldn't become the things that we hate. And I know both of us are afraid to act the way you regret some things you did with your kid. And I'm definitely afraid, because I never had that father. I'm definitely afraid of being that same way to my kids. And I just wanted to hear your opinion on that sentence. Freedom is not a becoming the model of destructive echoes or a walking in the hands of ghosts.
And I told myself my whole life that I would not be like my foster parent was to me. But it's so hard to break.
Right.
How I could see myself with my children when they were small.
Trying to be the exact opposite.
Trying to be the opposite, but catch myself still doing some of the things that I said I wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And luckily, you know, my children still turned out fine. But I was very strict and probably overly strict.
Right.
But I didn't belittle them when it came to the way they did me. Thank God for that. But, my children were all smart, and I told them every day how smart they were.
Right.
But and I tell my grandkids how smart they are. But, no, that didn't happen to me. But I was very strict with my children and made them fear me when they were small to keep control of them. And that's how I was raised in the foster home.
That's all you knew.
And that was all I knew to keep control of them. And I was like, this is so wrong, because I swore up and down. I didn't want my children to fear me.
And you knew what you were doing. It's just so hard to stop.
I couldn't break it. I couldn't break it. And I want it because I want my kids to be able to come to me. But instead, they were afraid of me when they were very small. Yeah. And I didn't know how to stop it.
And that's so scary.
Because my parents weren't like that.
Right.
I wasn't ever afraid of my parents.
The way you were raised.
But in the foster home, it was totally different.
And that's what I'm afraid of. My dad does that. My dad doesn't want to treat me the way that he feels that his grandparents and his dad treat him. And I'm so afraid that I'll treat people like my dad treats me, like those foster parents treated me, like all of these different places treated me. And it's just a scary thing, because sure, you can say it's easy. You can say, oh, I just got to make sure I don't do this, this, and this. But when it's all you know, sure, you can go look at some books. You can go read some. You can go read some books, but you won't.
It's just out of habit. It's just out of.
It's for us. It's engraved us so hard that we don't. Maybe we can break the cycle. Let's hope that I can.
I hope you can break the cycle. Scott broke the cycle.
Scott was a great father. Maybe
he is a great father.
He spoils them.
He spoils them, and the engine shouldn't. But
they love
at
him.
Least they do, and they'll come to him and tell him anything and
God,
be able
Scott.
To talk to them. And he listens. But he will get them when they're wrong.
Yeah, little Scotty gets it sometimes.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the girls more so, because he's around them more. But, yeah, he did break the cycle, thank goodness.
So glad for him.
Yeah.
I think Alex will, too, if Alex ever has a kid. He probably will.
Yeah, but Ashley hasn't broken the cycle for
Ashley
sure.
Ashley hasn't. My She's dad hasn't. She's even
more so. But, yeah. But you have to realize that I was a single parent for years.
Yeah.
So, when you're a single parent, you can't lose control.
And Don wasn't much help when he came along.
Well, yeah. So, yeah. That was...
Yeah. Well, I think this was great. I'm so glad because we haven't talked about our past much, and what we have we're still confused on because we've both been told different things by different people. So we'll probably talk about this more, but I was glad to get all this out and especially to record it so we can look back on it later. So, all right.